Let's pray before you sit down. Our great King and Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we reach before you this morning as we worship you in various ways. That time has come again for us to worship you through hearing from you, from your word. Oh Lord, may you teach us your truth. Use these weak vessels to proclaim your word faithfully, for your glory and to our edification. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Can I have your seats? Yeah, there is a famous Christian book entitled The Pilgrim's Progress. Some of you might have read it. But it's a very, very good story about our journey to the celestial city. Yeah, life itself is a journey. You need to live knowing that we are in a journey. And the journey is not easy at all. It's full of storms. You just need to learn lessons from your journey as you journey towards the celestial city. As we go, we go to another page. Looking at the very last chapters of the book of Acts, Paul's journey to Rome. I want to attract your attention to a few lessons from your own journey to meet the great King one day. Yeah, this will be the title for our short series in these two chapters. Lessons from your journey to meet the great King. And today we are covering verses 1 through 12 of chapter 27. Let me read the passage. Acts 27, 1 through 12 says, "And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of Adramitium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. The next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends and be cared for. And putting out to sea from there, we sailed under the lee of Cyprus, because the winds were against us. And when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus. And as the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete, off Salmon, Coasting along it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens, near which was the city of Lasea. Since much time had passed, and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than to what Paul said. And because the harbor was not suitable to spend the winter in, the majority decided to put out to sea from there, on the chance that somehow they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete, facing both southwest and northwest, and spend the winter there. That's God's word. Again, I say, at last, finally, the journey to Rome has come. And you can ask yourself, why do you say finally, Pastor? Because of many reasons. Paul has been yearning to go to Rome for so many years now. First on the physical part of Paul's life, he yearned to go there, to go and see Rome. Why did he yearn to go there? Because Rome was the largest, as the capital city of the empire. It was the largest and the most important and most influential city in the known world then. It was well built, with very good paved roads, with very nice houses. It was populated with people from all over the world then. It was glittering, it was shining, and everyone wanted to see Rome. So, to a Roman citizen, the city of Rome was the center of the world. Because it was, it had well paved roads that went out of it to all the parts of the empire, of the world. And you could come from wherever in the world to Rome. That's where the saying came from that goes up to these days, all roads lead to Rome. The Roman citizens were proud of Rome, the city. As a Roman citizen himself, Paul might have had a great longing himself to one day go and see Rome. Remember just when you are still in the village and you are longing to come and see Kampala. You hear people say that the Kampala has got roads that are move in the space, talking of flyovers. That's what the same scenario with any Roman citizen then. Even others who are not Roman citizens. But on the spiritual side of it, we see that Paul's greatest yearning, longing to reach Rome, was to preach the gospel to the Romans. When Paul's life got converted, everything changed, and his longing changed. He was full of zeal, and now his longing to go to Rome remained, But the reason why he was now longing to reach there had changed. He wanted to go and also sow a seed of God's word there. You know very well that he did not plant the church in Rome. He did not. But he could hear good news about the faith of the saints in Rome. And he was longing to go there. He started even praying about it. But the Lord did not open that door. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 10 to 15. Romans 1 from 10 to 15, he says, let me begin from 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, he's telling the Romans, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. 11. For I long to see you. Listen to the reason why he was longing to see them. That I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. 13. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far I've been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. 14. I am under obligation to both Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Yeah, so those are the reasons why Paul was longing to reach Rome. Also, he wanted to fulfill he was fulfilling the words of our Lord himself from Acts chapter 1 verse 8. It's when he sent his disciples saying, go all over the world and... Okay, let me just read quickly there. Acts 1:8, the words from the Lord himself. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So you see, it was already in God's plan. Yeah, obviously, Paul is zealous to go and also have a seed from him of the gospel in that powerful city. But obviously, also humanly speaking, even seeing Rome himself. Yeah, so now we come to chapter 27. Paul's journey to Rome begins. This trip has got many similarities with our journey to where we are going, to heaven. And you need to continue journeying while learning some lessons. And the first lesson I'd like you to learn is that in your journey to meet the great king, you need company. You don't need to journey alone. It's very dangerous. So we find that in verses 1 and 2. And verse 1 says, and when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. Who decided The answer you find it in the above verses 26, verse 30 and 31. Yes, verse 30 says that then the king arose, and the governor and Bernice and those who were sitting with them. And when they had withdrawn, they said to one another, "This man is doing nothing to deserve death or imprisonment." And Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." So that's the team that decided, Festus being the leader of this decision. So now, at the beginning of chapter 27, you see that we are back to the famous we sections of Luke. Yes, it has disappeared, but it's back here again. As a sign that Luke is also part of this trip. So now they've decided that they take him to Rome. Then Luke and Paul and other prisoners are given to Julius. Verse 2, and embarking in a ship of Adramitium, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea, accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. So what I want you to learn here is that the ship is full of prisoners. There were many, 200 plus prisoners, but of two different types. Paul was had pleaded to stand before Caesar himself. But those other prisoners were going to be executed. Because in the Roman Empire then, it was that if someone is tried and they are found guilty, all those prisoners who are supposed to be killed had to be transported to Rome. Yeah, because they were putting them in a big arena in Rome, so that their death, people could come like Nambole Stadium, people feel it, and just to entertain themselves as they see these people eaten by lions or any kind of death. Yeah, so many theologians believe that those other prisoners were going to be executed. They were going also to meet the great judge, Caesar, to be executed. But Paul was also going to meet Caesar on a different note. Two of his brothers were with him, Luke and Aristarchus. And the question is, why did they go with him? It was not allowed. It was not allowed if someone is going to be judged and then people go and escorting him. And yes, theologians again here just speak differently on this. Some say that Luke and Aristarchus traveled with him as his slaves. Because Paul was respected. So they believe that these two, Luke and this brother from Thessalonica, went as his helpers, his slaves. And that's hence the honor that Julius gave to him when they reached Sidon. But when you read other post letters, you find a different story. Later in Colossians chapter 4 verse 10, Paul refers to Aristarchus as my fellow prisoner. So I don't know why he had to call him my fellow prisoner if he traveled as his helper. But the truth is that this brother, or these brothers, decided to escort, to go with their brother to Rome. This was not their first time. When you read Acts chapter 20 verse 4, you find that when Paul left Macedonia to Jerusalem, a number of Macedonians decided to escort him, to go with him up to Jerusalem, and Aristarchus was one of them. In other words, he just wanted to have company of his brother. Yet the journey to heaven is very difficult, full of storms. You need company. You need your brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you are here and you don't have a local church, then you are not doing well. When you look at your brothers and sisters in the Lord, you share with them your troubles. They encourage you. You gain more strength to continue. Yeah, so we are going to see trouble in this street. So now, as they continue, you find that they go up to Eli. Eli is just a harbor. It's like a port that is covered from the wind. So you read in verse 3 that the next day we put in at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him leave to go to his friends to be cared for. And here we find our second lesson in the journey. That in your journey to meet the great king, always trust the sovereignty of God. What does it mean, God to be sovereign? Simply means that he controls everything. He turns the hearts of human beings. Now, this is what we are seeing here. You can't imagine if you go and make your research on this cohort, these centurions, when you are given a prisoner like Paul, you have to make sure you are with him at all times. Because once he escapes, your life is gone. Remember the other centurion again in the life of Paul, still who feared after finding Paul not there? And he said, I am finished, I've been killed. Paul said, no, don't fear, we are here. So now, ask yourself, they reached Sidon. They had to spend there a night, only to hear Julius the centurion say, Paul, feel free to go wherever. He had many brothers and sisters everywhere.
Just go to your friends and so that they take good care of you. That's not normal. It's not usual. Only God can do that. God who touches any heart of any human being and moves it to wherever, whichever direction he wants. You are a prisoner, but you are being treated like some authority. So as you journey to heaven, trust the sovereignty of God. Whatever happens to you, the sovereign God has allowed. Yeah, so this spot was a bit protected from the wind. So from there they sailed to the north of Cyprus. So at Myra in Cilicia, they changed the ships. Yeah, because this ship from Adramitium was stopping there. That was no direct ship to Rome. I forgot to tell you where the journey began from. It began from Caesarea. So now they change the ship. Julius put them in the ship from Alexandria, Africa, that was going to direct to Italy. So now at Myra, they enter the other ship and they go up to Cnidus. This Cnidus was located at the southwest tip of Asia Minor. But there, instead of continuing west across the lower and end of the Aegean Sea, the wind forced them almost to the south towards Crete. Remember, Dr. Luke here says that this was a terrible period of time, because even the fast had passed. That was towards the end of October or early November. And it was believed that period was very, very dangerous to be on the sea. So now that's when Paul is traveling to Rome. And when they reached there, they went around Cape Salmon through Crete's south coast until they reached a place called Fair Haven. A haven is simply a safe place. Yeah, a haven is a place of refuge. It's a port that is protected from the sea. Those winds cannot easily reach there. Now, when they reach there, Paul says to me that they would be fair there. They would be somehow okay there. And he gives them counsel. Our third lesson here is that in your journey to meet the great king, always listen to godly advice rather than expert advice. So now, Paul says, but remember, we have experts in the boat, in the ship. The captain himself. You can't count how many times he has moved that ship in that sea. The owner of the ship was also on board. But don't forget that Paul was also not, he also knew something about the sea. He's an itinerant preacher.
But for him, it was more based on God's revelation to him. And he tells them, you know, when he hears the captain and the owner of the ship say, no, let's leave this place, it's not safe for us. Paul says, friends, this is a very dangerous period for us to continue with this trip. Let's remain here at Fair Havens, because it's fair for us here. The captain and the owner of the ship say, no, let's continue. What makes them fear is what? Yes, they agree with Paul that continuing is more dangerous. But they say to spend winter at Fair Havens is very dangerous also. Paul says, yes, I know that is not good here to spend winter here, but to remain here is better. So many people want to follow the advice of experts, and you ignore the advice from God's word. Once you know that someone is an expert in some in a certain field, you want to follow whatever they tell you. And I think we see that very thing with our president in this country. During the lockdown, yeah, sometimes religious leaders wanted also to bring some advice, and the president, oh, you know nothing, only the minister of health is everything. Because these are experts, they understand these things better. But there is God in the heavens, and we use His words. Those can make mistakes with their expertise. Yeah, so the majority went to the side of the captain, and they decided to continue the journey. And next Sunday, you are going to see now the trouble that occurred to them as they proceeded. Now, the title of these two last chapters is Lessons from Your Journey to Meet the Great King. I think you've heard that almost all our hymns today are just talking about the other land that is fairer than this. Just let me remind you a few things before I leave the pulpit. That in this ship going to Italy, we had two types of prisoners or people who are going there. The majority were going to be executed. In other words, they did not enjoy their trip to Rome. They were going to meet the greatest judge, Caesar. They did not ask to go and meet him themselves. But another type, another prisoner, Paul, he was longing to go to Rome. He wanted to meet Caesar, the greatest of all kings, the emperor. In chapter 25, verse 11, Paul appealed to Caesar himself. He says, no, you guys, I'm pleading for myself. You are not listening to me. I appeal to Caesar. Let me go and stand before the great king. And because he was a Roman citizen, they agreed to take him there. Yeah, you could not call Caesar king, he's the emperor. Above all kings. We left kings behind, Agrippa and all these other guys. Can you appeal to meet the King of Glory? Because like it or not, one day, and that day is soon and very soon, you are going to meet the King. Remember the title of this message. Lessons from your journey to meet the great King or the great Judge. You are going to meet him as Paul, or you are going to meet him as these other prisoners. Because all of us here will meet him. Because Paul wanted the Caesar to hear him plead for himself. Because you've seen, I showed you last Sunday how all human kings and governors said this man does not deserve to die or to be imprisoned. And Caesar was residing, was living in Rome. The most famous city, the most beautiful city, the most influential city, full of people from all over. That city, the city that represents Rome, or that Rome was representing, is the celestial city where you and me are journeying to. It's the celestial city that you call heaven. And the king who is there is not Caesar, my friend. It's the one who made Caesar with his own hands. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, called Jesus Christ, the one you are despising these days. Let me remind you again. Every single day of your life, you are making steps in your journey to meet him. Whenever you wake up, you make a step in your journey. The journey is full of storms. We'll see it from beginning with next week, next Sunday. Many forms of storms. You who enjoy life here, and you don't want to live this life, you will. So now, if Rome was splendid, everyone wanted to go and see Rome. And yet, that city where my king, your king dwells, is far better than Rome. Listen to the words of this hymn writer. The words that you sang this morning. He said, we speak of the realms of the blessed and Caesar. Yes, that country so bright and so fair. We speak about it. Even this very morning, our dear brother Sumanu in Sunday school was talking about the same thing the last day. Because this is, it was the journey to Rome at last. Finally, the journey has started. But again, after a few weeks, we'll be Rome at last. They'll arrive. We speak of that realm. The country that is so bright and so fair, and often are its glories confessed. People confess the glories in that city. And our brother ends with a question. But what must it be to be there? It's one thing to talk about New York.
It's another thing to be there. Whatever many of you know about New York is what you've been hearing and watching on TV. But when you go there and see for yourself, he says, verse 2, we speak of its pavements of gold. I've told you that it's in Rome that the idea of paved roads started. It's in Rome. Very nice ones, according to historians. Very good road infrastructure. But they were making it of tar, of clay, of whatever. But our city we are journeying to, it says that its roads are paved with gold. We speak of its walls decked with jewels that are so rare to find. We speak of its wonders and beauties untold. But what must it be to be there? And that's why we need to be transformed first. Because if they took you the way you are with that body to the glories of heaven, you just collapse and you vanish, you disappear. It's too much. Verse 3 says, we speak of its freedom from sin. The famous Rome was still stinking with sin. But our capital city in glory has no sin. What makes life here is detestable is sin. Sin is our biggest enemy. We speak of his freedom from sin, from sorrow, temptation, and care. From trials without and within. But what must it be to be there? We speak of its service of love. The robes which the glorified wear. The robes. The church of the firstborn above. But what must it be to be there? And he ends with these words. Do you, Lord, mix pleasure and woe in the midst of pleasure and woe? For heaven our spirits prepare, and shortly we also shall know and feel what it is to be there. Do you long to be in glory? I showed you how Paul was longing for many years to go to Rome. He has made it one of his prayer items. Lord, if it pleases you, open for me a door to go to Rome. Do you long to be in glory? Maybe where you are seated, you say, no, Pastor Bill, don't talk like that. I don't want to go there tomorrow. Do you pray for that? Lord, I can't wait when I'll be with you in glory. Paul and the rest are going to meet the great church, Caesar. You and me will be one day going to meet the great King, Jesus. The majority are going to be executed. Paul asked himself, wanted to stand before the great King himself. What comes into your mind when you hear of you meeting the great King? There is a place called Fair Haven. Still on the way to Rome, that's not Rome.
It's still on the way to Rome. They reach a place and say, no, it's better here.
Yeah, because it was,
the way it was made, it was protected from these, all these winds. And Paul was like, let us be here for some time. But it was not strong. How many of you have got your fair havens here? You get your fair havens in riches. Once you get some money, you say it's all, I've finished. Some of you here, your fair haven is in Christ Jesus. There will be better. You'll be protected from any wind. Don't feel comfortable elsewhere, anywhere else. Fair havens of education, that's nothing. Of fame. But you don't have Jesus. Listen to godly counsel always. Didn't you sing this other song today? You sang it. I would even request both of these to come back next Sunday. Because they are like an anthem to this trip to Rome. I heard you sing, saying, we have no abiding city here. This is not our city. Don't feel comfortable here. And he says, this may distress the worldly minds. Those who want life here, to tell them that this is not our home, will be living, say, oh no, don't tell me that. But it should not cost the saint a tear. Who hopes a better rest to find? We have no abiding city here. It is a sad truth for this to be our home. It is a sad truth for this to be your home. But let this thought cheer your spirits. We seek a city yet to come. We are journeying to that city every single day. You'll appreciate this message beginning from next when you see the storms and the dangers, and exactly that's what we go through. But in the midst of all these storms, what was deep in the mind of Paul is Rome. He did not care. He did not mind even think to entertain the idea of death. No, I have to step Rome. The snake bites the word. Rome is Rome.
Roma.
We have no abiding city here. We seek a city out of sight. It's not New York rubbish, not Los Angeles. Rubbish, dustbins. Why people speak lies here, people give corruption to go to New York. I want to be in New York. And by trying to go to Paris, you are really blocking your ways to go to this city that is out of sight. He says, Zion is its name. The Lord is there. It shines with everlasting light. Not the lights that were in Rome where Paul was longing to go. Not the lights you find in the United States of America. You say there's no load shedding there. That's rubbish. There's no sun here in this city. There's no moon here. There's no star. The brightness of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. And those of you who are here when you are going through the attributes of God, when we handle the glory of God, you can get the sun that gives light and heat to us. 1 billion of them put together, they will not even give a dot of the light and glory that Christ gives in heaven. And you feel you don't want to leave this earth? Because you have this kapua vehicle you drive, that kapua house you are building. I don't want to leave my things behind here. Rubbish! We seek a city out of sight. Zion is its name. The Lord is there. It shines with everlasting light. And it says, oh, sweet abode of peace and love, where pilgrims are freed from toil and are blessed. It says, if I wish I had the pinions of the dove, I would fly to you and be at rest. We are troubled here. I remember my brother and my doctor David. Last week when he heard news that I was discovered with malaria, typhoid and brucellosis. I'm just preaching by grace, but I'm sick. One word he told me I won't forget. Oh brother, what's wrong? Brucella keeps coming back and typhoid. Good enough, Jesus Christ is soon coming back. They'll never find Ebola, not Ebola. They never find typhoid or brucella in you. We seek a city yet to come, which is out of sight. Its name is Zion, the greatest king. Far beyond the Caesar is there. Can you be like Paul and you are longing to go and stand before him? Paul was longing to reach Rome and he stands before Caesar. Can you? Your too many sins cannot give you the guts of standing before the great king. We are pilgrims going to the celestial city. Be careful how you move in this journey. But you hear these words every Sunday here. And when I'm preaching and look at your face, oh, maybe this one is going to repent today. You go back and live the way you've been living. Don't waste your life, John Piper says. Don't waste your life. We thank you, Lord. For the journey from Caesarea to Rome that reminds us of our journey from earth to heaven, where you dwell. That city that is shining with everlasting light, not from the sun, not from the moon or stars, but from your glory. O King of glory, have mercy on us. Those of us here who don't know you, break their stony hearts and bring them to Christ. Help us as we pilgrim towards you from this earth full of sins. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.